The reading this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verses 25 to 28. Three short verses. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's a privilege to be able to share the word of God with you again this morning. For those of you who haven't met before, my name is Ralph, and it's a privilege to be here. But let's make certain that we just pay attention to the word that was just read to us. Ron shared the word from Hebrews 12, verse 25, and it says these words. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they didn't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less if we turn away from he who warns us from heaven. I love the fact that the Lord speaks to us and the Lord has a desire to speak to us. I wanted to start this morning by sharing with you and talking to you about what is the first thing you can remember? What is the very first thing? Just cast your mind back and think of what is the first thing you can recall. It might be something very positive. It might be something very challenging. It might be really significant, or it might be something quite small. I want to share with you. This is a picture of my first memory. Okay, now it's not actually the actual picture, but it's the memory that I have. I was 5 years old. I was in kindergarten in Forestville Public School, and it was the middle of the day. It was just after lunchtime, and it was the very first time I'd ever seen a television. Okay, I'd never seen a television before, and I knew what they were. I'd heard about them, but I hadn't actually seen one. And they wheeled a television into my kindergarten classroom. They turned it on, and about 3 minutes afterwards, I watched Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walk on the moon. Okay, that was it's my very first memory that I can recall, and it has set me up for a bit of a problem. Okay, it was actually on. Sorry. I'll give you the date. It was July 21, and it was, sorry, the July 21, 1969 at 12:59 p.m. And it was the most amazing experience I had ever had, and it just stuck in my brain. Does anyone remember that day? Does anyone remember where you were? Still a space tragic because of it. I'm totally into anything to do with the space program. I have all of the newspapers from that I've gathered through the 70s, the 80s. A few weeks ago, I was very excited to watch the Artemis rocket take off and circle the moon. And if you're interested, I'll run a seminar after church this morning. Talking about all of these stats and all of the various aspects of the space program, because I'm just boring that way, and it's important that I share it with somebody. But it was so impactful for me. It started this interest, and I want to just remind you that so much goes in to actually getting a rocket off the ground. So much actually takes place. Anything to do with it. My son, who was in church 2 weeks ago, is actually a rocket scientist. Okay, he is an actual rocket scientist. So when he tells me he's having problems at work, I can't say to him, "Don't worry about it, son, it's not rocket science," because it is rocket science. It is actually rocket science that he's involved in. And so I'm waiting for him to get a job with NASA so I can visit him and go to NASA. That's the only reason. I'm not interested in his career. I'm interested in my hobby. But one of the things I love, and most people love, about space is the countdown. Okay, the countdown, 10, 9, 8, culminating in that point where they blast off and everything that's been prepared is actually comes together. And the rocket takes off, and it starts, and it's propelled on its journey to the stars. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hasty before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Can I tell you that words are powerful? I think you know that. I think you've had some powerful words spoken to you by somebody in the past. Someone has told you those amazing three words, "I love you," and it's meant such a difference to you. Unfortunately, sometimes words can be negatively impactful. Someone could have said three words that are not as positive. "I hate you." People can say positive things, small, negative things. Words can have strong impacts both ways. Sometimes we can think that the more words we speak, the more powerful the words become. But I found in my ministry as a pastor over the last 40 years and as a chaplain and as a leader that often the opposite is true. Now, I get paid often to speak. So I get paid for a living, if you like. It's paid to speak for a living. And I can think that if I just keep saying enough words, that becomes more and more effective or more and more powerful. But the truth is that sometimes less is more. As I contemplated this week, the ministry of Jesus, sometimes Jesus had a lot to say. We have detailed discourses that he spoke in the Gospels. Detailed statements and the Sermon on the Mount and times where he spoke for a long time. But there are also some moments I want to focus on today, some key opportunities he took that focus the attention on Jesus' words and the incredible brevity that he actually used. Sometimes he spoke many words, but often, frequently, it was just brief. And how he presented a challenge, prayed a prayer, or completed an act of ministry. So I want to share with you today what I'm calling the activation countdown. It is the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of Jesus speaking to us and challenging us. It's the idea of the fact that God is actually looking for Christians to respond and not just be passive. It's wonderful that we're sitting in church this morning. But this is not what we were designed for. It's designed to celebrate and be together every week, absolutely. But we are meant to be outside of the church and making a difference. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you this morning about some simple things that Jesus said. So I want to start the first one by saying that there are 5 words that Jesus spoke that brought joy, hope, and transformation. And these words are found in Luke chapter 5, verse 13. And he said these 5 words. He said, "I am willing, be cleansed." It comes from Luke 5, verse 12. It says, "It happened when Jesus was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put his hand on him and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' immediately the leprosy left him. He charged him not to tell no one, but to go and show himself to the priest and make an offering as Moses commanded. Can I remind you that the first step in you being an activated Christian is actually being cleansed? Leprosy separated people from community, and therefore they assumed that God had been separated from them as well, because they weren't allowed to be in the community. They had to walk and announce they were coming. They had to ring a bell. When Jesus spoke these words of cleansing to the leper, he was actually speaking hope. He was speaking joy and transformation. Can I tell you, if you're not cleansed by God, you can't even start to do what the Lord wants you to do. In our service this morning, we've already had a time of confession. That's why we have a time of confession. But I want to encourage you today that the first commission from God, from the Lord today, is, are you willing? The question is, are you willing? Because he is willing to cleanse you. The Lord wants to cleanse us. He doesn't want to sit in judgment of people. And neither should we. We need to remember the joy that the Lord had to make us clean. We need to remember the freedom that we first experienced when we realized that our sins were washed away. And sometimes it's important to cast our mind back. When we find someone who is not yet clean, do we focus on the dirt or do we focus on the water that can make them clean? What is our heart saying? 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, above all things have fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. I remind you this morning that the Lord is willing for you to be cleansed and for others to be cleansed. So that's the five words Jesus spoke. Was there a time when he was even briefer than this? Did he maybe speak four words for us? In Matthew 12, verse 13, it says, stretch out your hand. Jesus said four words which promise restoration, healing, and renewal. It says in Matthew 12, verse 9, when Jesus had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, so that they may accuse him? He said to them, what man among you who has one sheep, and if he falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? Therefore it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said these four words to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. The second point in activation is the step of restoration. Restoration of this withered hand. What might that represent for you this morning? Maybe you are in need of physical healing. Maybe you're in need of restoration of something that used to be strong in your life, but now has become diminished. Maybe it's an opportunity that's been lost in your life, or maybe it is referring to some opposition that you are experiencing at the moment. The whole situation that Jesus was in was orchestrated by the Pharisees to try to catch him out. But the Lord turned that situation around with four words. And can I tell you, the Lord can change your life with these four words. The Lord is all about restoration and bringing back to life that which is withered and dying. But it's not just for you, it's for all of us. It's not just for me, it's for those that I'm going to speak to this week. What restoration do those people need? What challenges and difficulties are they facing? Often the issue is that we fail to believe and we refuse to stretch out our own hand to the Lord. And the Lord said, stretch out your hand. And so today I encourage you, would you stretch out that which you need to the Lord? And might you have an attitude that says to others, if you see them in need of something, you see someone else who has something that's withered, encourage them with those four words of Jesus this week. Stretch out your hand because the Lord can do something powerful. But the thing about stretching out your hand is only you can do it. The Lord doesn't grab the hand and pull it out. He asks you to reach for him. Are there three words that Jesus spoke in another context that could speak to us? I want to share three words that promise hope in the midst of turmoil. In Mark 4, verse 39, Jesus said, "Peace, be still." It says that on the same day the evening had come, he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the river, of the lake." They'd left the multitude. They took him along in the boat as he was, and the little boats were with him. But a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat upon the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. They woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The third step of being activated by God is actually the step of peace. Jesus calms the storm. Does anyone need this today? Are you in a storm? Is there something happening in your life that is just windier than you would like or rougher than you would like? The point is that there are always storms, turmoils, and trials and difficulties that we face. If you're not personally experiencing them, then often the community is around you, or the country that we live in, or the world we live in. I don't know if you've noticed, but the world is not quite yet sorted. There's a few things going on, and there's a deep and desperate need for these three words. The point is that the disciples were heading in the direction the Lord wanted them to. The Lord had said, "Let's go over to the other side." So they were doing what Jesus wanted, yet the storm still came. Sometimes we think if we're in a storm, it's because we're doing something wrong and God's angry with us. Often it's not the case. Sometimes storms are just storms. But the good news is that the Lord can speak to the storm. We need to see the storms not as judgments, not as discouragements, not as a reason for fear, but as a catalyst to promote faith. The disciples cried out in fear, and the Lord was disappointed in them for that. They should have spoken to the storm themselves, or at least weathered it. But Jesus speaks three words. He says, "Peace, be still," and the storm clears. Can I remind you that the peace of God is powerful and that he wants you to have it today? In my life, in whatever complexities I have, the Lord wants me to walk in peace because peace is powerful. It says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. Be thankful. And in Philippians 4, verse 7, he says, "The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Can I remind you that the peace of God you experience is not just for you, but it's for others as well. As we are activated in responding to God as Christians, as we are activated in responding to others in ministry, we should be people who are sharing these words of Jesus. Peace, be still. Allow yourself to hear the words, but allow yourself to speak those words as well this week. Peace, be still, because God has something for us. Now, surely the Lord couldn't have said just two words which could make a difference. But he did. He spoke two words which provided direction and purpose for our lives when he said these words in Matthew 9, verse 9. "Follow me." Jesus passed on from there. It says he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. The power and potential of these two words is incredible. Making a willful response to these words actually transforms your life. This is what Christians have always done. These are the two words that are the culmination of the calling that most of us have experienced when Jesus says, "Follow me." If we do that, we live an authentic Christian life. If we fail to do it, we live a compromised Christian life. I remember when I first became a Christian at the age of 14, I was overwhelmed by the opportunity I had to follow Christ. And now at 62, that is still the same. The challenge is still the same. I have not always completely followed him. I have often followed my own will, followed my own path. But even here today, I stand here and say, I need to respond to this "follow me." If you do the "follow me," I guarantee your life will have purpose, meaning, and significance. I guarantee it. It might not mean significance in what the world thinks significance might mean, or what the world wants or reaches for, but it will be deeper and more attuned and will resonate with you that you are actually walking with Jesus. I want you to think about our rocket this morning. Which seat are you sitting in? Because there's one seat in the rocket that is the pilot seat, okay? And there's one that's the co-pilot seat. And this is the question, follow me. Which seat are you in? Sometimes we need to move one seat to the left. We need to get out of the pilot seat. We need to allow the Lord to tell us where to go, what to do. But so often we wrestle to get back in the control seat. And whenever I have controlled and taken back that role, my life has taken a turn for the worse. My effectiveness has diminished. My notoriety may have risen. My self-worth might have felt better momentarily because I was in control. But it was never what I was meant to be. So I need to get out of the driver's seat and get in to the passenger seat. I need to go where he wants me to go. I need to do what he wants me to do. I am to follow him. I'm to go after him, to be a disciple no matter what. In Acts 17, verse 28, it says, "For in him we live, we move, and we have our being." This is a great message to share to yourself. But it's also a powerful message to share to someone else. A lot of people are looking for direction. A lot of people are looking for an answer. Maybe the answer is for you to remind them of the two words Jesus said, "Follow me." And no, I know it sounds simple, but it's not. It can inspire them with direction and confidence. It can make a difference. So my question for you is, how will you fulfill the "follow me" this week? What does that look like? What do you need to do today to follow him? What do you need to do tomorrow? So we've had the five words, the four words, the three words, the two words. Is it possible that there's just one word which could make a difference to us today that Jesus spoke? I want to give you one word that forever reminds us that he knows us and that he's calling us towards our future. You might be speculating what that word is, but I think this might be a different thought for you. He said in John 12:20, verse 16, he said, "Mary." What am I saying here? I'm actually saying, insert your name here. Is what I'm saying. In the book of John, verse 20, it says, chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "Mary stood by the outside of the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at his feet. where the body of Jesus had lain. Then she said, they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." One word. And she turned to him and said, "Rabboni," or teacher. Can I tell you the final action of being activated? The one word only, but perhaps the most powerful word you could ever hear the Lord speak to you, is your name. Mary. He called her by name, and she immediately knew him. This represents the most powerful truth. And that truth is, he knew her. He knew her name. He knew her circumstance. And he saw her future, and it was wrapped up in his simple statement of Mary to her. Can I tell you, if you insert your name into this idea and you realize the Lord knows your name, he knows your circumstance, he knows what you need, and he is with you, it will transform your life. I love it when people call me by name. I don't like being called, "Hey, you." I don't like it when people forget my name. You don't either. But imagine how powerful it is when God knows your name. And he does. When God says your name and calls you by name and walks with you by name. He has healing, restoration, hope, life, love, and joy for you today. Not just for the person sitting next to you. Yes, the person sitting next to you qualifies as well, but he's not calling that name in your ears. He's calling your name today. This happens so often. Jesus said, "Simon, do you love me?" He said, "Thomas, reach your finger in here." He said, "Zacchaeus, come down." What's he saying to you today? But whatever he says to you, he's going to use your name. Can I encourage you to stop worrying about what's happening for everyone else and realize the power of the fact that the Lord is interested and committed to you? In John 21, verse 22, Jesus said, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to me? What is that to you? You follow me." We need to allow this hope, this joy, this life to impact the way you speak to others. This world is filled with people who need to insert their name here, hearing that God is actually calling them by name. You can soar off the launch pad with these five words, these four words, these three words, these two words, and that one word. "I am willing, be cleansed. Stretch out your hand. Peace, be still. Follow me." Insert your name here. Blast off. My last thought for today is I believe this is a great template for reaching others. I believe that we can actually carry incredible hope. If we do, we are truly activated as Christians. Think about the fact that the Lord is saying to you, insert your name here, Mary. Jesus says, "Follow me." If you do, you'll find peace that you are looking for. Your limitations will be transformed. Your withered hand will be renewed. And your sin and shame will be cleansed. Let's follow him, and let's be activated for all he has for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for the hope we share. But Lord, this morning, maybe there are many of us today that need one of these statements you made to us to be refreshed in our mind. Maybe it is, Lord, that we need to hear today, I am willing, be cleansed, that we may be free of the sin that we carry and the shame. Maybe today we need to hear, stretch out your hand, that we may find that withered part of us renewed and refreshed. Maybe today we are in need of peace, be still. The wind and the waves and the turmoil to just be calm. Maybe today we need, Lord, the reminder to follow me, to be an authentic disciple of Christ. Or maybe today we just need to remember that you call us by our name. Father, we thank you for your love. We pray that we might take this word and we may allow it to go forward in us, that we may become everything you want us to be. I pray for all of us today, Lord God, that we may respond to you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.